In the sultry heat of Biloxi, Mississippi, a legal battle unfolds that will change the landscape of corporate accountability forever. The widow of a lung cancer victim faces off against Pinex, a tobacco giant that has never lost a case. But this trial is unlike any before it, because juror Nicholas Easter has infiltrated the system with a plan so audacious it borders on brilliant. Living in a deliberately sparse apartment with cardboard boxes for drawers and a mattress on the floor, Easter has crafted the perfect temporary existence, an identity as meticulously constructed as his living space, designed to withstand casual scrutiny while containing just enough inconsistencies to make deeper investigation frustratingly inconclusive. What makes this case extraordinary isn't just the $400 million at stake. It's the invisible chess match happening behind the scenes, where every move in the courtroom is countered by elaborate schemes outside it. Easter positions himself as the jury's champion, building strategic alliances and gradually assuming leadership. Meanwhile, his partner Marley approaches both legal teams with an outrageous proposition: $10 million for a guaranteed verdict. Their synchronized operation creates a pincer movement that leaves both sides increasingly off balance and vulnerable to manipulation. Rankin Fitch epitomizes ruthless corporate power. With his meticulously trimmed goatee and expensive suits, his presence freezes rooms. Working for The Fund, a secretive tobacco industry slush fund with no paper trail, he's successfully defended 8 previous tobacco trials using whatever means necessary. His operation transforms a five-and-dime store into a sophisticated command center with surveillance monitors and round-the-clock teams. His invasive methods include exhaustive background checks, constant surveillance, and planting listening devices in jurors' homes. When he discovers juror Ricky Coleman's secret college abortion, he sees it as psychological leverage. Learning that Lonnie Shaver works for a regional grocery chain, Fitch orchestrates a corporate takeover by a tobacco-friendly corporation, giving them direct influence over Shaver's career. His most devious scheme involves fake FBI agents pressuring Hoppy Dupree, juror Millie's husband, with fabricated legal troubles. The message is clear: vote for the defense or your husband faces prison. Yet despite his ruthlessness and experience, Fitch finds himself increasingly outmaneuvered by Marley and Easter, who seem to be beating him at his own game. Judge Harkin's order for jury sequestration at the Siesta Inn creates the perfect environment for manipulation. With phones and minibars removed and a makeshift dining area established, jurors feel imprisoned despite not having seen their temporary quarters. Easter, secretly pleased, builds camaraderie while strategically voicing complaints about conditions. The sequestered environment reveals jurors' true characters. Jerry Fernandez, a car salesman with gambling debts, flirts with Sylvia Poodle Taylor Tatum. Colonel Frank Herrera maintains his rigid military routine with 5:30 a.m. push-ups and cold showers. Philip Savelle practices yoga under an oak tree, embarrassing his escorting deputy with his chanting. As confinement continues, shifting alliances form. Easter approaches different jurors strategically, warning some about tobacco companies' manipulation tactics while encouraging others to see their verdict's historical significance. The jury becomes its own ecosystem, with Easter gradually establishing himself as the alpha influence, a position crucial for the upcoming deliberations. Despite extensive testimony and evidence, jurors' opinions are primarily shaped by personal experience and group dynamics. During evidence review, they quickly agree cigarettes cause cancer and nicotine is addictive, but determining damages proves contentious. Personal stories profoundly influence deliberations. Angel Weiss's emotional account of being targeted by cigarette ads as a teenager resonates deeply. Lorene Duke's anxiety about her daughter's new smoking habit adds urgency. These narratives transform statistics into visceral realities. Meanwhile, Lonnie Shaver consistently argues that smokers make personal choices and shouldn't receive damages. Nicholas demonstrates masterful psychological manipulation, steering the conversation from liability to concrete damages. His proposal of a $1 billion verdict initially shocks everyone. However, he skillfully frames this unprecedented amount within historical context, positioning jurors as agents of social change. Through a secret ballot process that reduces peer pressure, they average their proposed damages to $356.9 million, strategically rounded to $400 million for memorability. While Nicholas controls the jury room, Marley executes her external strategy with precision. She approaches Fitch with eerily accurate predictions about Easter's jury behavior, establishing credibility before proposing her deal, $10 million for a defense verdict. Desperate, Fitch transfers the money through shell companies. What he doesn't realize is that Marley uses these funds as collateral for $22 million in tobacco stock short sales, anticipating the market's reaction to the verdict. The plan's true brilliance emerges after the verdict when investigators uncover Marley's identity as Gabrielle Brandt from Missouri. Her motivation wasn't merely financial. Both her parents died from lung cancer, transforming her actions from a money scheme to a personal quest for justice. 6 weeks after the verdict devastates the tobacco industry, Marley confronts Fitch at an upscale restaurant. She offers to return his $10 million, now unnecessary after her successful market manipulation, with a clear warning. Any attempt to overturn the verdict will expose his jury tampering efforts. The novel explores justice in America when powerful corporations use unlimited resources to manipulate juries and escape accountability. Easter and Marley's illegal scheme, involving false identities, jury infiltration, and market manipulation, becomes morally ambiguous when contrasted with tobacco industry deception. Judge Harkin's best efforts prove inadequate against sophisticated manipulation. His warnings about improper contacts and jury sequestration fail against operatives with millions at stake. The court system, designed for simpler times, cannot detect or prevent modern jury manipulation. The case exposes the gap between legal and moral culpability. Tobacco companies won 16 previous cases not because cigarettes are safe, but because their legal teams excel at procedural tactics and jury selection. When Lawrence Krigler testifies about a 1930s memo proving tobacco companies knew nicotine was addictive, he reveals not just corporate deception, but the justice system's fundamental failure to uncover truth. The runaway jury did more than entertain. It fundamentally altered how Americans think about jury trials and corporate accountability. Published when real tobacco litigation was making headlines, Grisham's fiction helped shape public perception of the industry's tactics and culpability. The novel's portrayal of jury manipulation proved remarkably prescient. Jury consulting has since evolved into a sophisticated $500 million per year industry employing psychologists, statisticians, and social media analysts. Mock trials, focus groups, and demographic profiling are now standard practice in high-stakes litigation. The book's impact extended beyond literature into policy debates about tort reform, jury selection, and corporate accountability. Several states revised their jury selection processes afterward, implementing stricter controls on consultant access and expanding questioning. What makes this story resonate is how it confronts uncomfortable questions about justice. When the system protects powerful interests, where is the line between right and wrong? Easter and Marley's scheme may violate legal boundaries, but in a world where corporations weaponize law to escape accountability for deadly products, their victory reminds us that sometimes justice requires courage to rewrite the rules.